Welcome back to Beholder to No One, a TTRPG podcast. Today, we are here with a little extra special episode this month, since the last Monday of the month is usually off for the new podcast. But because the new podcast isn't up yet, I invited Ebris to the channel after she was sent to me by Amber about an amazing sounding game called Drama Llamas, which is available on Kickstarter currently. So you should definitely go check that out. But first, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Drama Llamas?
Okay, great. Hello. I am Ivris Burke. I am a game designer from Manchester, UK. I'm currently kickstarting my first ever Kickstarter, a game called Drama Llamas, which is a game where you play as a reality TV contestant who is also a llama. Everyone is llamas in the game. And yeah, it's inspired by reality TV competitions, and you basically get to live out taking part in a series. So yeah, that's the basics.
That's fantastic. Also, just the fact that you get to play a llama is hilarious, honestly.
Yeah, the llama aspect is important to the absurdity of the whole affair. Yeah.
So this type of game, what system is it based off of, or is it its own system completely?
It's its own system, but I kind of describe it as I started out wanting to make a one-page game, super like short and eloquent, something like Honey Heist, which is how I came up with the title Drama Llamas. And then I am not very good at doing things in short form, so it ended up instead being a 40-page game. I think it sort of took a turn when I did a stream of Brindlewood Bay, which I've been super keen to play, and I really admire that game. I think it's inspiring a lot of people at the moment, I think. But I really admire the way that game takes the tropes from the shows that it's emulating, these cozy crime dramas, and turns them into mechanics. And I already wanted to do a reality TV-based game for a while, and I thought, well, reality TV is so structured. Like, it's so edited and structured, and everyone knows the tropes, and everyone, whether they want to admit it or not, I think has seen some reality television. So yeah, I just lent into that. So it's kind of a D6 based system, you know, kind of related to the more whimsical side of Powered by the Apocalypse games, in the same way that Brindlewood Bay maybe shares some DNA with those things, but is quite different in its own and is its own standalone thing.
Perfectly understandable. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun, honestly. And there's been a lot of tabletop games lately that have been based off like TV shows. Like, I've seen one that was The Bachelorette.
Wow, nice.
I don't know if they like used a game and then they just made a version of The Bachelorette, or if there's actually a game called The Bachelorette. Yeah. Or The Bachelor, but it was funny.
It's interesting
to watch.
See, Drama Llamas is all reality TV competitions, which I guess The Bachelorette is, but I've never run it as like a dating simulation, like dating show thing. I think it would be very interested to see somebody do that, but I don't know if I've got the courage, like, because it's just
Drama Llamas.
Like the safety tools you would need around running The Bachelorette would be pretty intense, but not that it couldn't be done, obviously, but you'd need people very on the same page for that.
Safety tools are important. Use your safety tools, especially when romance is involved. But I think like a good session zero and like discussing what type of things are okay and not okay, especially if like in a Bachelorette setting, you're like, okay, this is The Bachelorette, this is what I'm not okay with.
Make sure the players are familiar with The Bachelorette, make sure they're in for that, and I guess, you know, if they're trying to play that game, then they must know what that is.
I'm trying to imagine the llama version of that.
I think it would be, I mean, that's mostly why the game is llamas, right? Is reality TV can be pretty vicious and kind of hard to watch sometimes, you know, in a can't look away kind of way. But in a, you know, to personally experience that would not necessarily always be the most fun. But if you're a llama, it just adds this like absurd twist to everything that makes everything feel a lot lighter, you know?
Yes, exactly. And that's, I think that's what the, like, I didn't think about it until just now, but like, I think that's what's one of the things that's nice about Honey Heist is like, you're criminals, but you're just bears. Yeah. And it's like,
there's no temptation to take this super seriously, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes they can. And it's like, there's like one bear that's like super serious, but then it's still silly.
It's a straight man, right? It's a straight man character that just amplifies the comedy of everybody else, you know? It's
Probably.
Yeah. I think it sets the tone of the universe as well, having the characters be bears or llamas or whatever. Like, this is cartoonish. This is, you know, maybe slightly slapstick. This is silly, you know?
Yeah, I think it would be funny to just, honestly, I just want to see this in like a whole bunch of different genres now. Like, all, like, obviously all reality TV show, but there are so many different versions of reality TV.
Yeah.
So the options are endless. Mm-hmm. Pretty much with what you could do.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like it's a system designed to be any reality TV competition. I've run it as like a British baking show ripoff. I've run it as a Survivor ripoff. I've run it as just my own invention that I'm recently running. The latest playtest I'm running is mini golf. They're all mini golf course designers, and every game they design their own mini golf course hole from prompts. And basically, yeah, there are very, very many possibilities with it, which is fun.
I want to play this. If you do another play test on somebody else's show, like just in, like, I would like to play if the time zones and everything align, but like, I would love to play this. Unfortunately, like, I got rid of the one shots for my show because I just don't have time anymore. Yeah. Otherwise I'd be like, let's play this right now on the show. Go.
I mean, I would say this cause I designed it, but it is super easy prep, like super easy prep. You just need to come up with some judges, come up with your show concept, and you just need a couple of challenges, which are really just role-playing prompts. Like, It's like four lines of prep you need to write before you run a game of this, which is nice.
That's fair. That's something I liked about Honey Heist too, is like, you could just roll off of the table and it's like, here's six tables, roll real quick. You got everything you need to DM the game. And there's a lot of games like that. Have you heard of All Out of Bubblegum?
No, I have not. Tell me about it.
It's a one-page RPG. Where you're here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, but you're all out of bubble gum.
Oh, right. Okay. Of course. Yeah.
But the concept is very Honey Heist-esque in the sense of, like, it's kick ass or mundane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you choose which one you do. You start with a higher number and you have to roll above to if you do a mundane thing, or below if you're doing a kick ass thing, or vice versa. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But if you fail the kick ass thing, you could just chew bubble gum and then succeed at the kick-ass thing. But you can't do that with mundane tasks. And if you run out of bubblegum, you can't do mundane tasks anymore. So everything you do has to be kick-ass, even opening the door.
Right.
So you have to be conscientious of that. But it's a very simplistic game. And like, we use it at a company called Tour Guide Games, where they play for like corporations. And they do like an hour-long like icebreaker with the companies.
Oh, yeah.
And like, none of these people know how to role play. None of these people know how to play games. Mm-hmm. So all you need is a D10 dice roller online. And then they just tell you what they want to do. And you determine if it's a kick ass or a mundane move. And like, let them do whatever the task is. The generic story was, you're in a museum and you're a bunch of art thieves. And the famous T-Rex, Stan the T-Rex skull, that's worth $2.3 million or $1 billion or whatever, mm-hmm. is there just for one night and you have to steal it. How are you going to do that? And then watching them work together. It's supposed to be like a team building exercise, but it was just a lot of fun to explore how people did it. Some people were like, we have a helicopter. Some people had trained rats. Some people used lasers. Some people just walked in. Like, it was just a different one every time that we played. You could tell who was more imaginative in the group.
Yeah, I think like tabletop as team building is something I've thought about a lot, you know. I think it's a great idea, but I think that game probably does solve some of the problems that are with it. Like, D&D is way too much of an investment to do for like an hour, and way too overwhelming for a new player. I think also keeping it simple that, you know, your character has this very clear objective and they are either being kick-ass or mundane at any given time helps with the role play. Because I think that's the other thing, is like, I am such an avid role player now, but I remember my first tabletop game and I was terrified, absolutely terrified. Couldn't come to terms with the idea that I would be so vulnerable as to pretend to be an entire different person in front of other people. So in that environment, I guess it's, how do you encourage that enough so that people get the benefits of that vulnerability but don't feel it too strongly?
Yeah, we learned that having a small little tutorial kind of thing at the beginning where each player had to do something. So it's like, okay, you're in the car, you're on your way there, but you can't find the keys. Person A, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, right. Just to get them over that first hurdle, over the threshold of doing the first thing.
Right. And sometimes they're like, well, what are my options? Like, literally anything except...
Yeah. Well, what would your options be in the world?
Like... And even beyond that, like, yeah. You are in a movie right now, literally anything. Take your favorite villain in a movie and, like, make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, just do whatever you want. Some people, funny, though, the original concept was you're all late for an airline and there's only one seat available and it's a competition to see who can get that last seat, which felt like we eventually got rid of that because it felt like you want team building, not competition.
Yeah, right. You want collaboration.
Collaboration, that's the word. Collaboration, not competition. And there was a game where one person's like, because these are all people who are corporations and corporate workers, and some of them travel quite a lot. So one guy's like, actually, I'm just going to...
So it just was hitting them in a personal place.
Right. But it was funny because the one guy's like, well, I'm just going to take the money for this hotel overnight and just wait for the flight tomorrow because it's not a big deal and I can get extra money for that. And I'm like, that's not the point of the game, though.
Yeah, you have to invest in the premise, guy.
and the other one's like, I'm just gonna buy a different ticket for a different time. And I'm like,
people don't want to fall out with each other. I mean, that's like actually a problem I had to solve with this game, is that the point of the game is to create drama, right? The central mechanic is you create drama. The more drama you create, the better your boosts to challenge roles and the better your chance of winning. You know, there is like a win condition, but the point is role play and drama, and it's how do you convince people that they want to create a little bit of conflict and create a little bit of back and forth between them. And some people take to it like ducks to water and are just immediately like, I'm going to go over and sabotage this other person. And some people are much more like, you know, just going and having nice conversations with their other collaborators. But yeah.
I'm going to be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I always tend to, with games like that, I'm nice to a point. Mm-hmm. And then get to a certain point, it's like, oh no, you just screwed me over, buddy. You're on my list. I'm targeting you for the rest of this game.
Well, it is fun now running this as a campaign, which I'd done a bunch of one-shots. I mean, one-shots, people take more risks. As a campaign, in the first session, they were all nice enough. I did my best to stir the pot a bit. In the second session, they all just started going in. Like, they'd gotten comfortable with the mechanics, they'd gotten comfortable with each other, they started sabotaging each other, going over and accusing each other of things. It's because it's so light and silly and fluffy and all the rest of it, it plays very funny even when somebody's going over and sabotaging someone. But yeah, it takes a minute for people to be comfortable with that and be like, oh, it's safe.
I like the concept of having your drama score and that the roles take away or give to it as you're going. So that's really amusing because, like, you go from humdrum to villain.
Yeah, right. Villain edit. And then along the way, there's breakout star. Like, and these 2 points, breakout star and villain edit, actually have the same challenge bonuses. Like, either you've created so much drama you're getting the villain edit, or you're just in the middle and you've got like the breakout star kind of quality, and they actually have the same boosts, same really good boosts to challenges, even if you're playing either role, right up until the end when the villain edit is a real like pain to have, because reality TV rewards its villains. Reality TV loves villains. Like, it is a viable strategy in this game to just be that person who's always creating trouble and always the center of attention for the wrong reasons.
That's why people come back for more.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves a villain.
That one person, they're like, I need to see this person win. Like, I know they're a dick, but God, they're just so much fun to watch.
Well, you need a foil, right? You need a foil for, like, the people who you are rooting for. You need to be a bit, like, you need sides. You need drama, basically.
Yes, you need lots of drama. All the drama. Mm. I mean, that's the point. Drama llama. But yeah, I think that's hilarious, and I like how if you're going too low, it's going to be like, okay, you're getting boring. And then you could even play it like with the survivor aspect where you are getting going to be the one that gets kicked off possibly.
It's interesting because I the game is not designed to play with eliminations necessarily, but I am actually going to be running a stream of this, a streamed series where we will be playing with audience voting and eliminations over on Girls Run These Worlds.
Nice.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Like the lowest scoring contestants each round, the audience will vote who gets to stay in, basically.
You have been eliminated as the llama.
Yeah.
The least liked llama.
You have been eliminated.
Of the survivor. If they don't say that, if that is not said,
it's happening.
I will be sad.
It's happening. Yeah, all of the llama puns. There's actually a rule about llama puns in the game as well. That in the Llamaverse, you can say any celebrity that exists in our universe exists, but you have to make their name a llama pun. You have to have llama puns, which is hard. Actually, I don't know why I made that rule. I spent a lot of time coming up with llama pun names. But yeah, it is fun.
Yeah, that's. The llama puns have to happen, and eliminated. Oh, that was great. I usually not a pun fan, honestly, but just animal ones are my favorite. Mm. I don't know why.
Because it makes you think of the animals.
Perfect.
It's nice to think of animals.
That's fair. That's fair. Hello. Sorry for the interruption here, but I wanted to give you an advertisement for one of our friends in the tabletop community. Please give it a listen and go check them out.
Well, hello there, young adventurer. I've been waiting for you. We've met before, don't you remember? Ah, no worries. I'm quite forgetful myself. The other Sparks are waiting for you. Leviath, Shuey, Theo, and Brandy. They've had such wonderful tales to tell. A truly marvelous story. I wonder which one of them will be the chosen one. Perhaps none of them will. Perhaps it will be you. The morning's coming soon. I have to leave now. Will I see you again? I sure hope so. Is a story really a story if there's no one to tell it to? Well, goodbye for now, adventurer.
Chosen Ones is a visual novel-style D&D podcast on YouTube that releases every Thursday at 1 p.m. CST. Find us on Twitter at Chosen Ones D&D. Come adventure with us.
Now, back to the show. And it looks like you can sabotage.
You sure can.
In the game.
Yeah. It's a popular move when people are wanting to dip a toe into being a bit dramatic. They might try and go over to somebody else's workstation and, you know, steal something or break something. And you have to roll to see if it works. And the options for the outcomes are like, you know, you fail and the target knows about it and you gain drama, or you fail, the target doesn't know, which is kind of neutral, or you succeed and the target has no clue. And then they take this sabotaged condition into their challenge roll, which gives them a little bit of a negative modifier to their challenge. And you've got to explain in the story how they were sabotaged and how it plays out.
Yeah, I like that fact. And like that actually would be really amusing, especially like when you mentioned the cooking show one. I love those types of competitions. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Face Off?
Or heard of it? I have heard of it. I don't think I've seen it.
So it's an American competition with prosthetics, and you have to create something based off of a criteria. So like you're given Mother Nature as a right. thing, and then you have to create a prosthetic and an outfit and a costume and a creature. Ooh. Using these prosthetics. And then you have to put it on your model as well and get their body paint all done. And some of the work is absolutely stunning, but like that. There's so much drama. Like they don't sabotage or anything in that game because they are all too busy focusing on their own thing.
Too much work. I think in actual real life reality television games, sabotage is actually incredibly rare, but it's funny in a game scenario. I love the sound of that. I'll have to look that up. That reminds me of like one that I do watch. I'm a massive RuPaul's Drag Race fan, which is definitely one of the inspirations for this. And mm-hmm. there's a drag queen called Raven who does Painted with Raven, like a makeup artist competition, but they do a lot of special effects makeup and stuff.
Very cool.
I love that. So good. The creativity is just watching creative people do incredible things is, very enjoyable.
One one show that is a reality TV show that's like a baking one that does do sabotages is Nailed It. Have you seen that one?
I have definitely seen clips of that. I think I may have seen one episode, but I don't know if I've seen anyone use sabotage in there, but that's great. That's a great concept.
So my favorite thing is it's people who aren't great at baking.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part about it. And they think they're good at baking, but they're really not.
Yeah. They're just trying their best, doing quite challenging things, I think, yeah?
Yes, like they have to duplicate a cake. Like they're given a dessert and they're like, duplicate this. This is your goal.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful desserts, absolutely stunning things. But in it, there's a round one and the chefs will give them advice on what to do better. But whoever wins gets a bonus and they get a sabotage to use on the other player. And then on the second round, the final round, they have to make something else. Like it's a different thing, but a harder thing.
Yeah.
And the sabotages are just ridiculous. Like I think her name's Nicole Byer. One of the sabotages is literally she is just annoying and goes over and just talks.
I've seen her stand-up comedy and she's actually hilarious. Like she's really very funny. Yeah. So,
but like the sabotage is literally she goes over and goes like, hey, how's it going? Are you doing good? Are you doing good? Do you need help? Do you want to do something? Like, you can't do something. What's this? Take this. Like she just is like 30 seconds to a minute of obnoxious. Or there's another one where it's just like you have to pause and can't do anything for a full minute. Like can't touch anything no matter what's happening on your thing. So it's interesting to see those sabotages and like see what happens. And there's some other shows that I can't remember the name of them, but they'll like sabotage by you get to take one ingredient from them or force them to use a specific ingredient in their food.
That's such a good idea. Yeah, I love that.
Just like little things like that. Like nothing that's going to like actually destroy their chances. Like no like pushing over the cake.
But... yeah, they've still got a chance. Yeah, exactly. But they're not. It's still going to be funny and mildly annoying for them.
Right, exactly. And there's another, what was that called? I just thought of a funny one that I loved and I can't remember what it's called. Now I'm just going off on cooking shows.
I've only ever really watched The Great British Bake Off, as we call it, or the Great British Baking Show, as I believe it's branded in the US.
In Cutthroat Kitchen, it's run by Alton Brown, who did Good Eats, and I loved Good Eats because it was like scientific and it taught you all about baking and how science works actually in baking. But in this one, the whole point of the competition was every round you had money to spend and you could use that money to buy sabotages
or
things that will help you.
Right.
But the catch was the more money you spent, the less money you brought home.
Right. Okay. Okay, I get you. So it comes out of the prize pot, whatever you spend. And also you have this decision whether you want to improve your chances of doing well or ruin somebody else's chances.
Yeah, it might have just been sabotages if I'm remembering. It's been a while since I've watched it. But like there was one where it's like you can only use one hand. There was one where you can only use a iron as your oven. Or a heat lamp as your heat source for your food. There is one where you can only use tiny utensils and nothing else. So they're like some massive sabotages that you can use and you're just outbidding each other to see who can buy it. And sometimes the outbidding is just trying to get somebody else to spend all their money so that they, and you call out and you're like, no, you have it. It's fine. Cause it's not so bad to you. Like, you don't feel like it would be that bad. Mm. But I think the worst one was like somebody was tied together with another player.
Oh, and they were both trying to do the challenge or?
They had to work. They had to each do their own separate challenge, but like one of their arms were tied with each other and they had to like work with each other to like go back and forth so they could succeed.
Wow.
But it was freaking hilarious. It was so funny. And it had evidently, I don't know if it's still going, but it had, oh no, it stopped in 2017, but it had like 190 episodes. So there's a ton of episodes, but it was hilarious.
Must have spent so much time coming up with these sabotages and having a great time with it.
Oh, Alton Brown is evil in that one. It's hilarious. Because he goes from like such a nice guy in Good Eats to like this evil dick of a man in Cutthroat Kitchen. But it's really funny. So do you know when the Girl Run These Worlds show is going to be?
It's running mid-Feb to mid-March. So February 16th episode one comes out 2 days after the Kickstarter launches. So,
and it'll be every Thursday?
Every Thursday for 4 weeks. Yes, indeed.
So then this week at the release, this will be the third episode. So go check out the first two, see what happened, and then check out three and four. Go support Girls Run These Worlds because they're a fantastic stream, but also go support the Kickstarter in the link down below and get yourself some drama llamas so you can play and enjoy this game and play your own reality TV show, but with llamas, which makes it better because reality TV shows suck.
For the humans.
But are hilarious. Yeah. With humans, it sucks.
Yeah, nobody wants to be a human on a reality TV show, but a llama.
God, no. Who wants to be a human anyway? We should all just be llamas for now.
Yeah, it's a real drain.
It makes typing really hard, though. Can I be a llama with hands?
There's literally an FAQ in the game about these sorts of things that people ask, and the llamas can do everything that you can do with your hands. It is a full-on llamaverse. We don't know how. They figured it out. They can dial phones.
Don't ask questions.
They can apply lipstick. They can type on a keyboard. They can do all of that stuff. It's
that just makes sense. Just, yeah.
Try not to worry about it too much is the FAQ advice that we give.
That's fair. So where, other than the Kickstarter, and which is already in the description down below, where can everybody find you and anything else that you plan on working on in the future?
Well, honestly, first ever Kickstarter, so my brain is entirely llamas right now. I'm sure there will be something in the future, but, you know, watch this space. In terms of where to find me, there's buttonkin.com is my website. I run a games company called Buttonkin Games. I can be found on Itch as Buttonkin Games as well, where all of my stuff is available to purchase. And, yeah, obviously Twitter at EverestDMs. Or Buttonkin Games. So yeah, got a newsletter as well, but you can find that through the website.
Awesome. I'll put all those links in the description box down below. So go check out the Kickstarter, support it, make sure it hits all of its goals, including stretch goals, if any, and good luck on your first Kickstarter.
Thank you.
I wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
If you want to find me, you can find me on Beholder to No One on Twitter or anywhere else that there are social media, so I may not be active. If you want selfies, you can find me on Instagram, but that's literally all I post over there is selfies of me from my streams. This week should be, also on Thursday at 9 a.m., should be the release of the finale of Adventure Academia. So definitely go check that out. If you haven't listened to the actual play, go listen to the prior 12 episodes of the show. It has been a very fun story to tell. And then soon we will be having a small series of cyberpunk that you can enjoy called Chrome Sunset. So keep an eye out on the show for that. You can also find me on Tuesdays and Fridays on 2000 Tales Roleplaying on YouTube. On Tuesdays, we play Big Gay Masks game on the Big Gay Dice Games. And Fridays, you can find us playing Monster of the Week, usually. Though this week will be our finale of our cyberpunk special. That's a 4-week series. So lots of cyberpunk. Been a new favorite. So go check those out. I'm not in anything else right now. So those are the things I am currently in. If you want to find out anything else I will be involved in, please just go check out on Twitter and you will find it. That is everything. Keep being awesome. We'll see you next time. Bye.